Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Koen Pavels is an award-winning professor, consultant, and expert on the topic of marketing ROI. After receiving his PhD at UCLA, he taught at Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business before joining Otion University. He is the author of It's Not the Size of the Data, It's How You Use It, published by Amacom, a division of the American Management Association. Koen, welcome to Edgewise today.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Let's just jump in here. Now, your book is about smarter marketing. What does it mean to market smarter?
Market smarter basically means doing more with your marketing budget, with your marketing resources. It's basically a way of, in down cycles, to know how and where you can actually cut your marketing without impacting sales. And in a boom time, to grow smarter, so to grow more efficiently and to be able to tell your bosses or your investors how your marketing is driving sales and why it's so important for profitable growth.
Now, we hear a lot about big data and analytics. How are they impacting marketing?
Well, the impact is huge. So big data and really the whole online revolution have set the benchmark for marketing to be more accountable, to show better exactly how and where we drive business. Even if it's not exactly sales directly, how each marketing action is actually helping customers to get one step closer to becoming a paying customer. So digital is very important as it sends some kind of a benchmark for measuring immediate sales effect. Unfortunately, it does very poorly in terms of measuring long-term effects and how to get people to be aware of your company and to know how to search for it. Big data helps in getting a lot more sources of data, both from your customer systems as for what they do online and also what they think and feel about your company. And so integrating all of these insights helps to better pinpoint where more marketing is needed and how exactly it drives the top and the bottom line of the company.
Now, some marketing people appear afraid of numbers and analytics and worried it will hamper their creativity. Should they be afraid of that?
Not in my experience. This is indeed a very constant refrain in marketing departments. They are very creative, and marketing people traditionally are rewarded much more on being a champion of an idea instead of being good bean counters. What I have seen across companies is that being accountable, having this system for smarter marketing, actually helps to make great creative shine. In the old days, if you did something fantastic and you knew, you felt in your heart it really impacted your company, it was just your word against others who tried to pump up their own results. So in these days, if you try something really creative, do think beforehand about how you're going to measure and how you're going to communicate the great impact it has for your company. Just last week, I was contacted by a leading company to do exactly that. So they contacted me to look at the returns of a marketing action they're still planning to do for later the year, which means that we have the time to actually think about all the things we want to measure. Traditionally, I've only been called in to kind of see what the marketing action did after the fact, and that is very important too, but then sometimes you realize that you have failed to measure something, which could have been very important for the company. So leading companies are more and more saying, okay, we have to be very creative, we have to differentiate ourselves, we really have to do something fantastic for the customer. But at the same time, how do we know how we're going to measure that the effect is actually there? And how do we use that one then to obtain even bigger budgets to give us the time and the resources to think about even more creative stuff?
Can you share some success stories of companies and maybe even some managers that have followed your book's advice?
A very big company in the States and a smaller company in Europe. The big company in the States basically was bringing out a completely new product, which would very much enhance its environmental credentials. So it was a green product, but they were not going to sell much. They know that it's going to be more expensive. It's just going to be part of our portfolio. And basically the question is how much to advertise it. For that, we basically needed to figure out from past companies how much advertising a green product in your portfolio actually helps the overall sales. How much you sell more of products that are not exactly green, but are your bread and butter. So we did that one actually, and we analyzed Toyota Prius story and see how much advertising for Prius actually drove the excellent opinion, not just for Prius, but Toyota as a company, which that translated into more sales for Toyota. So we did that analysis, and we basically came up with how much they should advertise. And just to give you an idea about the numbers, another consultant team claimed that that company needed to advertise $250 million. based on the argument that advertising this green product creates this wonderful halo effect that then translates into other sales. In our calculation, it was much more modest. So we said to the company, only advertise $100 million. So basically, the company saved $150 million by slightly better calculation about how much this halo effect is worth. A very concrete example about a smaller European company, and that one is actually, I can name it, the name of it is Innofec. It's a small furniture company. They hired us to basically compare their online with their offline marketing. Online, they were drowning in information, so that's the big data we talk about. You have Google Analytics, you have social media, and so things seemed very measurable, but then you couldn't quite follow the customer all the way to the purchase of the furniture. On the other hand, their offline marketing, they've been doing that for 30 years, and they didn't really know anything at all about the effectiveness. So we brought the two data sources together, online and offline, together with profit data, and data on how customers go through the online purchase funnel, so how they go for information search through asking for an offer and then actually buying it, and the offline funnel. And so long story short, we basically found that their major marketing action, which was offline, returned less than €1 for every euro invested. So that was not very profitable. But another action paid back 20-fold what I invested. So management said, well, this is fantastic. Let's switch right away. And I said, well, wait a minute. Let's set up a field experiment. So let's change it for half of the country. And the other half you do as you planned. And we basically showed to everybody in the company that profits increased 14-fold when they followed the advice. And these are net profits, so after marketing. So the company was, of course, very happy and communicated this throughout and then followed our advice. And now, 3 years later, they're still very much basing their decisions on actual data and analytics and adjusting as they go based on what they found out about the returns of specific marketing actions.
Okay, let's say somebody has decided to market smarter. How do they get started?
First of all, buy the book. So that's the first thing I would say. It's very reasonable, under $30. I think the major step includes, well, first of all, having some agreement on company goals. In most companies, your boss tells you both to be much more efficient and to grow a lot and to keep up the quality image of the company, for instance. So I think it's good that you agree with your boss, well, exactly which things will I be measured on and how will my actions help further the company goals. And so once you have agreement about exactly what is expected, for instance, of your marketing department, of a business unit, you can then link them to marketing actions. Ideally, you would link them for every person to what they can control. So you would link them for the chief marketing officers to more budget allocations, online, offline, for instance, or which country they invest in more. And then deeper down the organization, you will go up until tactical execution of, let's say, TV ads. And so once you have that system in place, you basically know how to get the right data. And I think that's very important in the age of big data. You want to get the right data so that you can then, based on analytics, link them to the company goals. And then a very smart guy inside or outside your company can do the math and basically say, well, how much, for instance, more profits you get from a 10% increase in awareness in online advertising. So the steps include, you know, agreeing on the goals, link them to marketing actions you can control, get the right data, do the analysis, and then, of course, make sure you can communicate the insights throughout the company so that people in your company can actually take a different action based on the insights. And it's taking that action that is typically a major obstacle in the whole process.
And finally, to wrap up here, what do you think is the biggest mistake that people make in this process?
From what I have seen, I would say specifically in bigger companies with lots of budget, people just try to measure everything. So they measure everything out there, every KPI, so key performance metric sold by a consultancy company. So I worked with companies literally with 300 to 400 KPIs, which are supposed to be key performance indicators. And so, of course, that's not just way too costly, but it's also impossible to act upon. Because basically, if you have that many KPIs, everybody that is trying to champion a project will just cherry-pick whatever KPI look good in that sense. So what I am typically called in for, where I do my analysis or math, is to narrow down all these possible metrics to a few that are really important and actually drive your business. And so very often, and I'll tell you one more example of a company I worked with, 1 month sales were up, profits were up, but everybody was very anxious because one of their so-called KPIs was down. And so they were very worried about that. And after the analysis, I showed that this KPI had nothing to do with ultimate sales and profits and other things they cared about. So measuring everything that creates paralysis in the company and also a lot of anxiety, whereas getting a good idea about what exactly is online and offline driving my sales and my profits or my company goals, I think that's very important to figure out.
We've been speaking to Koen Pavels. He's author of a great new book. It's not the size of the data, it's how you use it, published by Amacom. Koen, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.